Today we plan to go through Revelation chapter 22, verses 17 to 21. In this passage, we hear the final words of Revelation and the final words of the Bible. It packs a punch. It closes things out. In fact, we see five victorious themes in these short verses. The forces of darkness are totally defeated. Now remember, we've been given a breathtaking view, an overview, an awesome overview of the last things, the future foreseen, culminating in Jesus' return, the millennial kingdom, and the eternal state. And we see what believers will be experiencing throughout eternity. And now it's time to bring this revelation to a close, John's final words, and again, five victorious themes. Let's open in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time together in your word, and I pray, Lord, that you just help us to understand it, be encouraged by it, strengthened by it. Lord, thank you for the sure hope that we have in you. And so we commit this time to you and pray that you'd minister to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in Revelation 22, and we'll start in verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Five victorious themes. Theme number one, longing. In verse 17, the Spirit and the bride, they say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." There's the sense of longing. The Holy Spirit and the eternal church and its dwelling place, the New Jerusalem, they long for Christ's return and for the restoration of all things. In verse 17, also, we see that the readers are encouraged to hear the message of this book. Let him who hears say, "Come." So we're encouraged to hear the message of this book and to long for Christ's return and for full restoration as well. In verse 20, it says, "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I'm coming quickly.' Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." So furthermore, John himself longs for Jesus' return. He just longs for it. There's a healthy longing, a healthy dissatisfaction with this world in its current form. We want to see it transformed. We want to see it come to its final conclusion, its culmination and conclusion. In Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." So creation itself is eagerly waiting, it's anticipating. Later in the same chapter, in verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." So all of creation, there's this sense of birthing, going through labor pains, birthing. It's like, and what's happening here is the millennial kingdom is going to be birthed, and the eternal state, it'll take place. And so in some ways, Revelation is all about birth pangs leading to something amazing. So this kind of longing, this victorious theme number one of longing, this kind of longing keeps us prayerful, it keeps us hopeful, it keeps us focused, it keeps us energized. From the perspective of prayerful, it's like, "May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." As far as being hopeful, it's like, "Lord, we are looking forward to what you're going to bring about, and we know that you're going to do it." It keeps us focused as far as, "Lord, help me to make my decisions, the decisions in life, in light of where things are going. Help me to stay focused in this life. Help me to make deposits into sort of my, shall we say, the eternal rewards. Help me to heap them up and do things that bring you glory in my life." And then it keeps us energized. It keeps us full of energy because it's like, Lord, I want to be about your business. I want to live fully for you. I want to tell other people about the awesome gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And you are coming back, and we look forward to that. And there will be a millennial kingdom, and there will be an eternal state, and we'll be with you always. So that was victorious theme number one, is longing. Victorious theme number two, invitation. Also in verse 17, let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. So we see an invitation to personally respond. Whoever's thirsty, come and drink. Take the water of life freely. David Guzik mentioned in his notes that it doesn't say here in this verse that whoever's good enough come, and whoever has cleaned up his or her act enough come, or whoever understands the ins and outs of theology enough come. It says whoever thirsts, whoever desires, come, respond, drink. Jesus alone satisfies the thirst of humanity. No one else does. Nothing else does. There's no other satisfaction for our thirst. Money cannot buy salvation, and it cannot quench our thirst. Power cannot strong-arm us into heaven, and it cannot satisfy our thirst. Fame does not impress God. It's not like, oh, here's a famous person. I must let them into heaven. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't impress God, and it doesn't satisfy our thirst. Drugs, they do not hold a candle to the filling of the Holy Spirit, never satisfies our thirst. Sexual immorality and short-term thrills in all of its ways, they have no long-term benefit. They do not ultimately satisfy our thirst. Only Jesus satisfies our long-term longing, our thirst. He offers forgiveness. And because we're forgiven, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit given to us. He offers us purpose. He offers us security. We know we're going to be with him always. He offers us incredible promises. He's going to be with us always. He is building a mansion for us as far as preparing a place for us. And the promises of heaven are amazing. And even on this side of eternity, he's going to be, no matter what, he's going to use everything for good. He satisfies our thirst. Now, this passage says, let him take the water of life freely. So it's to be taken. It's to be received. It's not earned. It doesn't say, let him earn the water of life. It's let him take the water of life. So it's not earned at all. In fact, it's a free gift. It says, let him take the water of life freely. It's a free gift of faith. Nothing that we earn, nothing we deserve. It is offered to us. What an awesome theme. That's victorious theme number two, invitation. Now for number three, theme number three, warning. Verses 18 and 19, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So Jesus testifies in his court of law terminology. He issues a serious warning here regarding this book, the book of Revelation, his prophecy here, and regarding the word of God as a whole. Do not add to it, and do not take away from it. Don't mess with this book, and don't mess with God's word. God put together this book and the entire Bible just the way he wanted. We go through books of the Bible because it's all essential. That's what we do in this setting. It's all essential. It all ties together. It's all relevant. We want to hear all of it, not just the parts that really make us feel good. We want to hear all of it, even the bad news, because the bad news helps us understand the good news so much better. The Bible covers the full reconciliation between God and wayward humanity. the entire thing. And let's just sort of go through some of these themes as far as the whole, all of reconciliation that takes place. The Bible begins with creation. We're created sinless, in fellowship with God, perfect. And then there's the fall. That means sin entered in. Death entered in, that spiritual death. Humanity died that day spiritually, and they began to die physically. Decay started. So death entered in, and broken relationship with God, devastating. And all the rest of Scripture is like, how will broken humanity be put back together? How will it be reconciled with God? And so next come the promises. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. Then comes the law. Blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. Humanity's unable to fulfill the law. Then we see priests, we see prophets, we see kings. Priests are reconcilers. They reconcile God and man as far as they represent God to man and man to God, and they offer sacrifices, and there's a reconciliation kind of role that they play. The prophets are mouthpieces of God's truth. They declare God's truth. And then the kings are to be leaders and to lead God's people. And these are all forerunners because they're all leading to Christ. Because then we see the life of Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate priest, the ultimate prophet, the ultimate king. Perfect in every way. All these themes come together. Now we see the death of Christ. In Scripture, we see that he died, and he died in our place. He took the death penalty in our place. He died. He was innocent himself. He never should have died. He did die, so he was able to pay for our sins. He had no sin, so he could pay for our sins. Then we see the resurrection of Jesus. Death could not hold him. Since he was innocent and he died, he never should have died, he was able to rise from the dead again. The rules were broken, so he could rise. Then the church age. Forgiveness granted to people. The indwelling Holy Spirit. We become the arms and the legs of Christ. We're doing his will. We do the things he wants us to do. We shine brightly for him. Salt and light in this culture, in this society. And then there's the gathering of the church. When the restraining force is taken away. And that's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. He who now restrains will do so until he, capital H in the New King James, is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed. So that's the ultimate false Christ, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit's presence is going to be taken out of the way. In the context of the church, he's going to be taken out of the way. And then basically, the world really has some huge problems at that point, heading into that tribulation period. Huge problems. The Holy Spirit, through the church, is serving in a preservation kind of role. We're preserving this society, and we're helping it to continue at this time, but we're going to be taken out of the way at some point. And then evil will have its time, its field day, but it will not be for long. So next comes the judgment seat of Christ, as far as another theme, the judgment seat of Christ. When believers are rewarded, the works of the Spirit are rewarded, and the works of the flesh are burned up. And then the great tribulation. God uses Israel. He opens up their eyes. He issues a last call to all of humanity through them. And there's judgment on those who are shaking their fist at him. And then we see the return of Christ, which means the defeat of Babylon in all of its forms. Babylon is humanity without God. The whole theme of Babel, the Tower of Babel, humanity trying to do things, build up a tower and create utopia without God. So the return of Christ, victorious return of Christ. Then we see the millennial kingdom, Jesus' reign. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's going to come back. He is going to return. We're already in his kingdom from the perspective of he's ruling and reigning from heaven, but he's going to come back for all to see, and there's going to be a visible aspect to that kingdom. And that'll be the bulk of that. That'll be what's seen as his millennial kingdom. Then we see the great white throne judgment. Unbelievers are judged according to their works. Their works display their lack of faith. It's the lack of faith that brings about separation, because our sins have not been forgiven. But our works demonstrate either our faith or our lack of faith for the great white throne judgment. Unbelievers are judged according to their works. And then we see the eternal state. For unbelievers, it's the lake of fire. It's a terrible place. For believers, it's the New Jerusalem, that eternal city. It's heaven as we know it, and it's going to be awesome. No sin around us, no sin in us. And the presence of the Lord, fellowship with him. We will never get sick. And it'll be awesome as far as God's glory will be manifest. All was light there. And so to this, nothing is to be added, nothing is to be taken away. The entire Bible is so important. And it's very important for us to have a renewed sense of, Lord, I want to get into your word. I want to read your word. I want to study your word. I want to understand your word. I want to live your word by your grace, by what you offer to me. So that's victorious theme number 3. It's actually a warning, but it's pointing really to the awesome word of God. Victorious theme number 4, assurance. In verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So for the third time in this chapter, the Lord Jesus declares that he's coming quickly. He's coming suddenly. If it was there twice, it would imply emphasis. But 3 times, that implies perfect truth, infinite truth, ultimate truth. It's firmly decided. And this time he even says, surely, surely I'm coming back quickly. So it will come to pass. Surely he's coming quickly. What assurance. Jesus is coming back. We're going to be with him. We'll see him face to face. And Scripture says we'll be like him. We'll be transformed. We'll be given new bodies. The flesh will fall off. And we'll have this wonderful, awesome relationship with him, undistracted by the flesh, that which is inside of us that still wars against God, but it'll be gone at that point. No more sin, no more death, no more decay. This world is going to give way to Jesus ruling and reigning. No more corruption. No more dishonest news. No more dishonest politicians. We can be sure that this sinful world is not forever. Every wrong will be righted. John responds with amen, which means so be it. And that needs to be our response as well. So be it. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. John adds to this, even so, come, Lord Jesus. So that sense of longing we talked about earlier, it's heightened here. We have a sure hope. And this hope serves as a rudder in our lives. It keeps us on track, helps us to remain steady. It's like, Lord, you are coming back quickly. And I am walking in wonderful assurance because of that. So that's victorious theme number 4, assurance. And now for number 5, the final victorious theme, and that's grace. In verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So all of this is possible. Everything as far as reconciliation between wayward humanity and God. Those who are thirsty are able to come to him. It's all because of the grace of God. Unmerited favor. It's unearned. Remember, it's freely given. This revelation is not a work of man. It's a work of God. It's all about God's work, our response to his work. Humanity cannot and could not solve its own problems, but God has solved and will solve them. Jesus paid for our sins on the cross, and he will return, and he will defeat the ultimate false Christ. And this is all by grace. It's not anything we're able to do in our own strength. It's all God doing it. So the final verse, it's interesting, the final verse of the Old Testament contains a curse, talking about the sending of Elijah the prophet, who's really John the Baptist. This is in Malachi. And then the last verse of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So it's interesting that the last verse of the Old Testament has a curse in it, or contains a curse. It shouldn't surprise us, really, because the Old Testament is based on law, based on human performance. But the final verse of the New Testament contains a blessing. A blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It's basically a blessing. The New Testament is based on grace. Old Testament based on law. Human performance. Blessings and curses. The New Testament is based on grace. So it's blessings in Christ. The final theme, the knockout punch, is grace. Grace. Without grace, we're left to our good works, and we're not good enough. With grace, we're fully reconciled by Christ's work on our behalf. Sin and death, they've been defeated. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 to 57, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, that's the place of the dead, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So sin and death have been defeated. And John's final word is amen, as far as the final word of the book of Revelation and of the Bible is amen, which again means so be it. So there are five victorious themes that we looked at. One is longing. We are people of hope, and we look forward to the final culmination. Second theme was invitation. Jesus satisfies our thirst. Third victorious theme is warning. God's word is true and it's to be protected. The fourth theme, assurance. He is coming back quickly. And we're confident in that. He's coming back suddenly, anytime. And then the last theme is grace. God has made this all possible. He has done it. It's not a work of humanity. It's a work of God. And we just respond to what he's done for us. Personal application. Regarding longing, that victorious theme number one of longing, are you longing for Christ's return? Are you longing for it, looking forward to it? If not, why? Is there a lack of faith as far as that'll really happen? Are we holding on to this world too tightly? It's like, I got too much in this world to lose. Or are we feeling defeated? Like, how could this ever happen? I've shared earlier, a previous message, that I don't always walk in this kind of longing. But I need to. And personally, what I believe for me is, I need to see the bigger picture. And so this book has been so helpful to me. When you see the bigger picture, it's like, Lord, I long for what's happening. I love what you've done on this side of eternity. and our role at this time. And yet I long for what's going to take place. So are we willing to see and embrace the bigger picture, full reconciliation between God and man, for those all who are thirsty are able to come? So regarding longing, are you longing for Christ's return? Regarding invitation, have you responded to the invitation to all who are thirsty? If you have not, and you're feeling thirsty, we will pray soon, because he's the ultimate satisfier of our thirst. If you have responded to his invitation to all who are thirsty, are you loving people enough to let other people know about it? Allowing rivers of living water to flow out of you. God fills us, and he wants it to overflow to other people. So are you refreshed in Christ, and are you allowing that refreshment to minister to other people and to bless other people? Regarding warning, the third victorious theme, are you personally guarding Scripture? Are you keeping the evil one from stealing it? He likes to steal Scripture from our heart. And are you keeping him from adding to it? Says, okay, Scripture's real, but you have to believe in Jesus, but you also have to scale high mountains for him and for him to really love you. And he adds to it. Legalism. So are you keeping the evil one from stealing Scripture or from adding to it in your life? And are you patterning your life around Scripture? It's like, Lord, I want your word to be inside of me. Your word, all of your word, Genesis to Revelation, I want it in my heart. And I want to pattern my life around it and the underlying message and messages that are in it. Help me to love your word. Regarding the fourth theme of assurance, do you personally believe that Jesus is coming back? And it's quickly, it's suddenly. Do you believe that he's doing that or he will do that? Are you ready for his anytime return? It's like, no, I got too much going on in this world. No, you need to be ready for his anytime return. Are you ready? Have you confessed all known sin? Have you done the things God wants you to do? Life is short. Let's use it fully for him. Then regarding grace, are you envisioning yourself standing before the Lord by grace? His enablement. Are you living by grace? Not by your own strength, your own abilities, but by Christ's ability, his power, the Holy Spirit indwelling you, filling you. And are you communicating grace to others? Gracious words, gracious acts. God wants us to be vehicles of his grace. These victorious themes, we have wonderful victory in Christ. Much to keep our chin up for. God has done a great work, and he's given us the privilege of responding to him. Any genuine believer, we've been able to respond to him. So if you've never responded to him, if you're thirsty and you've never responded to him, then please pray after me. We've been doing this for the last few weeks, giving opportunity for someone to respond. So pray after me if you would. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking my sins upon yourself. Forgive me. Lord, I am thirsty, and I need you to give me living water. Lord, fill me. I want to live for you. I don't want to live for me anymore. I want to live for you. It's all about you. And I pray that you'd use me for your glory Make me into the kind of person you want me to be. I lay down all my sin. I lay down all my hopes. I lay down all my abilities. I just lay them all down before your feet. Lord, use my life for you. I'm going to follow after you in Jesus' name. Amen. And then for those who have received him, you've responded to his invitation to satisfy your thirst. What we'll do is we'll close with this prayer, asking God to just continue to encourage us. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word, for this passage, for this book, for the entire Bible. I thank you. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give us such an internal sense of longing, of hope. Lord, help us to continue to go back to the well and drink. Help us to take your word into our hearts and just really want to live it, asking you for strength to live it. And I thank you, Lord, for that sure hope that we have. Lord, help us to live by grace. Lord, help us to communicate grace to others. Lord, you are so awesome. Oh, death, where is your sting? Lord, you've given us wonderful promises, and we just thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.